WXDX FM Pittsburgh.
Personified, and I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away. It is so cliched to blame the offensive coordinator, but this is Pittsburgh. It's what we do because the Steelers ain't never going to fire the head coach. And even though it's cliched to say, Matt Canada does suck. He really does. Against Chicago, the Steelers used the jet sweep six times, handing the ball to the wide receiver, and it gained 33 yards. That is over 5 yards per carry. So against Detroit in the rain, with the backup quarterback playing, no jet sweeps at all, and Rudolph throws 50 times. And you had first and goal from the five and didn't run once. Matt Canada never should have got that job. Never should have been hired as offensive coordinator. Look at his resume. Not qualified. 9 different employers. Has bounced around from job to job. But Matt Canada was already on the payroll, and he's cheap to begin with. You know, you get what you pay for. The obvious thing to do Sunday in L.A. is to go big and pound the ball. Try to manage the clock and keep Justin Herbert off the field. The Chargers have the worst run defense in the league, but Matt Canada will not do the odd. He prefers to outsmart himself. That he's good at. So, hey, Matt Canada, guess what?
You just made the list.
The list brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing. Count on a name you can trust. Dial 412-367-0815 for all your plumbing needs. We got Max Starks joining me at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, let's get the calls going. I think we've taken exactly one call all day. Not for lack of getting them, just for lack of taking them. We've been talking about the Penguins at great length. There's a lot to worry about with the Penguins. They can't score. When's the last time that was a problem? When was the last time the Penguins couldn't score? The Rangers and Flyers are getting great goaltending from Shesterkin and Carter Hart, respectively. Washington isn't fading, not yet anyway. Carolina is a juggernaut. I guarantee they win the division. Sid's been hurt and sick and is having a tough time getting untracked. Jeff Carter talked after the game, and you could tell he knows what they're up against and that they got to start getting points ASAP, as in like tomorrow night at Montreal. The Penguins got 46 shots, but didn't go to the net till the third period. The Penguins want to play the same style like they did in 16 and 17, and they're not good enough or fast enough to do that anymore. So the Penguins do find themselves in a predicament, and I'm not sure how they solve it outside of getting healthy. And by the time they do, and by the time Sidney Crosby does get untracked, I don't know where they'll be in the standings. Because like I said, injuries, illness, lack of puck luck, the standings don't care about any of that. I'm already getting feedback on my notion that Fenway Sports Group, who are buying the Penguins, FSG could bring in a big-name star by way of global branding. Hey, I admit it's a long shot, but if you dipstick Steeler fans can fantasize about Aaron Rodgers coming to Pittsburgh when that just is not going to happen, I can fantasize about Austin Matthews. Wait, that came out wrong, and he'd have to shave the mustache at any rate. But listen, FSG is about global branding. And if Toronto, Edmonton, and Colorado keep not winning, something's got to give with the stars that play for those teams. And they can't all win. ain't all going to win. And I wouldn't bet on any of those teams to win the Cup this year, not even Colorado, who are 6-5-1, and McKinnon's hurt, and they seem to be having a hangover from last year when they were expected to go far and perhaps make a Cup run, but went out in the second round of the playoffs. So I am going to dream, and I'm going to dream big, and I'm going to dream about Austin Matthews. Wait, that came out wrong again. But he can score. And if the Leafs keep losing or implode, they're going to blame the American. For sure, they're going to blame the American. Like I talked about with Crowley, I got to learn to talk about stupid stuff on the show. Like, oh, the Steelers might get Rodgers. Or, oh, the Steelers should give Haskins a shot. Or, oh, the Penguins are going to move. Or, oh, FSG traded Mookie Betts, so you know they're going to trade Sid. I got to learn to talk about stupid stuff because that certainly does spur conversation. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call, or you can at me via the miracle of Twitter, at Mark Madden X. The new college football playoff rankings came out, and Cincinnati is number 5. The committee should just tell Cincinnati, look, F you. F you. You're not getting in no matter what. At least that would be honest, because Cincinnati is not getting in no matter what. No one wants to want Cincinnati in the friggin' playoffs. And that's what this is. It's about what people want. It's a popularity contest. It's branding. And Cincinnati ain't that good. They ain't got that brand. Heck, I bet Pitt could beat Cincinnati. Of course, I'm kidding. Cincinnati would beat Pitt. That's one of those stupid things I need to say more of, like I talked about a few moments ago. Cincinnati needs to get in a real conference. That's what Cincinnati needs to do. Because when you play in the American Athletic Conference, you are not playing for the national championship. Not even in theory. It's just not going to happen. And maybe that's unfair, or maybe Cincinnati has an unfair advantage when it comes to going undefeated because they do play in a crap conference. The only real team they've beat all year is Notre Dame. That's the only real team they've beat all year. But one thing we should hasten to remember, uber alles, this isn't a national championship playoff. It's an invitational tournament and a very flawed one at that. This is the Mark Madden Show. You like it, you love it, you want more of it. We got Max Starks, former Steeler lineman, now with their broadcast team on radio. He joins me at the bottom of the hour. This is the Mark Madden Show on 105.9 The X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Go ahead, you can say it because it's true. It's damn true.
Hey, Mark, love the show. Thank you for making my day.
Yeah.
The X at 105.9.
Some interesting news just moving regarding the Fenway Sports Group purchase of the Penguins. And I probably should have seen this before now. Apparently the goal for Fenway Sports Group is to start their own streaming platform. You know, like the YES Network for the Yankees. You know, but for streaming and not TV. Apparently they feel the Penguins, along with Liverpool and Boston, the Red Sox, give them the teams and content necessary to have their own streaming platform. And boy, there's a lot of money in that. And that makes a ton of sense. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Should have thought of that. Should have been able to slip that past me. At any rate, the Steelers are going to get killed by the Chargers. I don't know how to sugarcoat it. I don't really want to sugarcoat it. And it's not because the Steelers aren't very good, although they're not very good as we saw this past Sunday against Detroit. But they might be missing as many as 10 starters for this trip out to Los Angeles. You're going to the West Coast. You're playing prime time. There's a lot of factors working against them, the latter being one that could embarrass them. They could get scarred by a double-digit loss on Sunday night TV. that will carry forward no matter how many starters run available, because, like, the score don't care about that. The standings don't care about that, as I am very fond of saying. Justin Herbert is a handful, although here's one thing I will say in terms of trying to manufacture false optimism on behalf of the Steelers. Herbert's a second-year guy who has the occasional bad game and certainly makes the occasional bad throw. The Chargers are a team, I picked them as my sleeper team to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC before the season started. And I think they are capable of that, but they're probably a year away from being legitimate in that regard. The Steelers are going to have to get lucky Sunday night. I think that is beyond debate. The Steelers have got to get lucky on Monday night. Sunday night, rather. So used to Monday night football. I'm still not totally down with Sunday night football, although I think that is the most watched game of the week. I think that is today what Monday night football used to be. Some news from L.A. we talked about earlier. Joey Bosa, who is the top edge rusher on the Chargers, he's on the COVID list, but he does not have it. He merely is a contact. So if he tests okay, chances are he'll be able to play on Sunday night. Boy, 10 starters out. How do you game plan for that? How do you work around that? Again, I've given my thoughts. I say go big. Pound the ball on the ground. Keep Herbert off the field. Exploit that the Chargers have the worst run defense in the league. Go with Banner at tackle eligible. Gentry at tight end. Use some Derek Watt at fullback. But gee, you don't get to look like a genius as an offensive coordinator if you do that. And, you know, it's cliche to talk about. Here's how bad Matt Canada was this past Sunday, the Steelers offensive coordinator. Stan Saverin criticized him and called for his dismissal in mid-game on Twitter. Stan never does that. Stan's the cooler head, but it didn't prevail this time. And I don't know if I would have fired Canada mid-game, but that not running at all on first and goal from the five, that certainly was confounding. So 412-333-WXDX up next. We're going to talk more football with former Steeler Max Starks, who is part of the Steelers radio team. Maybe he can make me optimistic. If he says he's playing, if he says he's got one more game in him, then I will indeed be more optimistic. 105.9 The X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double M, huge fan.
You're talking to the super genius.
No doubt, Double M.
Hey, Mark, who's the best onion ring?
Ooh.
The X at 105.9.
Joining me now, he is a two-time Super Bowl champion, a standout for the Steelers on the offensive line during his career. And you can hear him now as part of the Steelers radio game day broadcast team on our sister station, DVE. It's a pleasure to talk to Max Starks. Max, forget the microphone for a second. Can you play Sunday at L.A.? Because they need you, and I feel like you got one more good game left in you, so come on.
Yeah, well, listen, my quote-unquote my doppelganger out there, Zach Banner, suited up, and they didn't use him, so... I would even be able to be an option even if I did dress if they didn't play Zach.
I'm talking about you maybe playing safety or edge rusher, because the Steelers could be missing as many as 10 starters because of injury. Max, how do you plan around that, and how does that affect the morale in the locker room?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, it's that triage unit, right? It's the walking wounded around the locker room. But, I mean, the biggest thing is, I think, because you have professionals, because you do have guys, you know, that you can look in their eyes and know the determination in their eyes, whether they'll be able to be counted in or counted out. You know, I always talk about this phrase, you know, Captain America said it best, right? He's like, if you're injured, get back in the fight. If you're dead, walk it off. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the mentality you have to have right now, is that, You've got to be in the locker room and be in a silo. This game right here will determine your future. I honestly believe it. This game is what tilts whether you are a playoff contender or whether you're just a pretender. how you play this game, how you travel under less than ideal circumstances. You go clear across the country. You're not at full strength with your star-studded guys on either side of the ball. You're going to have to go out there and be the team that wants it more. Carolina went clear cross country to Arizona, handed them a big butt kicking, and went back home. And they were not the team we were expecting. They took down the Giant. You have to be able to go and be a Giant killer at times. And that's what the Steelers squad is. Make it ugly. Make it nasty. Try and keep this game into where it's actually a physical ground game, because you know you can't do it in the air and you don't want them to do it in the air. So you need to make sure that you're on top of your P's and Q's from that respect.
Good stuff there, Max. No lies detected for sure. And in that vein, were you surprised the Steelers didn't run the ball on that first and goal from the five against Detroit? That kind of threw me for a loop.
Well, I was surprised they didn't run it on first and five. I was surprised they didn't run it on second and five. I was surprised they didn't run on third and five. The fact that you went and you saw Mason Rudolph give the hammer shot to a guy who's used to delivering the hammer and knock him out the game to get to that point, I was very surprised that they didn't run. And not even with that, but throughout the game, that was the whole entire thing, Mark. I think it was – they didn't – running was not an emphasis. When you look back on that game chart or that game film, I don't see run. I see pass and run as a changeup when it should have been the other way around. They should have gotten 50 rushing attempts and maybe 25 to 30 in the passing department, because the weather, the circumstances of your personnel dictated such.
Well, and staying with that, Zach Banner, who you mentioned, he used to be tackle eligible all the time. Gentry can block a tight end. You got Derek Watt, who you could use at fullback. Would you like to see the Steelers go to a big lineup occasionally on offense?
Oh, my God. I've been praying for it. In fact, I got rug burn on my knees from praying to God that we will actually get into a jumbo personnel. And I thought we were going to get that because I saw Zach finally, you know, Zach's been that healthy scratch the last couple of weeks. And then to see him with the jersey, to see him in uniform and ready to contribute, you contribute 8 offensive linemen to your game day roster, which normally is 7. So you made space for Zach to be there. And for them not to use him, I felt was asinine, because you looked across over at Detroit and you saw Matt Nelson, their extra offensive lineman. He should have just changed his jersey number as much as he was in the game, as much big offensive line they were running. And guess what? I don't know if you noticed this, but they also rushed for 200 yards before we even got to the third quarter.
Yep.
So why didn't we use the same thing? It's like, you know, it's like they all said, like, they used our game plan against us, right? I felt like I was watching The Waterboy, like Henry Winkler's character, like the coach had his notebook and was reading his notebook and laughing at him across the way.
Well, you got to visualize an attack. I think that's the game plan for this Sunday. Now, you've played when some backup quarterbacks got pressed into action. How did the prep work differ for the team that week, and how do you rally around that guy? What can you do?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the offense is the offense. It's just the main thing is getting used to cadence. I think that's kind of the first thing as a lineman, or I should say a non-receiving individual, would focus in on. Is learning the cadence. Second is also his propensity for how fast he can read the ball, meaning how much time do I really need to block for this guy back here? You know, is his decision-making quick? Is he a guy that hesitates? That's the next thing you go through. But when it comes to the nuts and bolts and the play calls and what the play is designed for, you should feel pretty comfortable that whoever you could put Napoleon Bonaparte back there and it shouldn't be any drop-off. You know, because as a lineman, as long as I can hear and get off on his snap count, I get a beat on his snap count, I'm blocking the play. It'll be up to him how he gets the ball to the receiver and how the receiver receives that ball. But when it comes to the nuts and the bolts of it, for me, I care about cadence and how long do I need to block for you when we get into passing situations. So that's just the adjustment.
We're talking to Max Starks here on 105.9 The X. Who's the best backup quarterback you ever played with? Because I'm a big Charlie Batch fan. Mike Tomczak, too, who was before your time. Just backups that were so prepared and obviously did that every week, even when they didn't play.
Well, you know, I was spoiled. Like you said, I love Charlie. Charlie was QB 2.1. You know, he could be QB 2 or 1, and we know we were good. Byron Leftwich, B Left, was another one that I felt ultra comfortable with when he was pressed into service. So I would say those are my top two. But I mean, Double D Dennis Dixon was another one that was good. You know, and I looked at it. Charlie Whitehurst was another fun one. But I would say Charlie and Byron would be my two favorite.
The Steelers are 5-3-1. Now they play at the Chargers and at Cincinnati. Those are a couple winnable games. Like you said, you got to conquer and show what you are. But boy, I wish the Steelers were healthy, even healthier, because like I said, these are winnable.
Yeah, these are winnable games. I mean, I felt like that stretch, you know, starting with the Monday night game against the Bears, I was like, man, you could really put yourself in a nice position if you could find a way, you know, to win against the Bears, the Lions, and the Chargers, and really set yourself up in a nice position. And the way that everything has fell around the Steelers, not only in the division, but just in the conference in general, it was stacking up that the Steelers could have made a charge to be one of those top 10 power ranked teams and to be a team who could be squarely put in the playoff mix. That tie kind of messes it up, but you can get back on track. And that's why I truly believe this Los Angeles game means everything for how their season is going to shape up and what our trajectory is for the Steelers the rest of the way.
Yeah, and I feel you, but how do you make up for Watt and Minka if they don't play on defense? Because even if somebody steps up, Max, nobody can step up that much, can they?
Well, nobody's going to replace – no one person's going to replace it. But I think when you look at it, it's going to be that combination, right? It's going to be figure out how Miles Killebrew plays into it, because he's more of your run-stuffing type of safety. And then you rely on your Trey Norwood, who's more the pass coverage type of safety. And then how you roll into your nickel and dime personnel, either it be Arthur Millett or Cam Sutton even moving around. Like that, how you shape those DBs is really going to matter, I think, how you do the protection on the back ends to combat what you got in LA with the Keenan Allen and company. But I think for TJ Watt, I think it's going to come more blitzing. We don't see as much blitzing from Keith Butler, but since you don't have TJ, you got Taco Charlton and Derek Tuska and Alex Highsmith as your three-man rotation at that position, I think now you're going to have to pull out more blitzes to get more pressure on Herbert. You don't want him to feel comfortable, so now you got to go into your uncomfortability zone and pull out zone and man blitz schemes to suffice for the pass rush that you used to have where TJ could just rush upfield and get to the quarterback. You're going to have to manufacture it.
You know who has stepped up, Max? I'm really liking James Pierre at corner. You can see him getting better as the season goes on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I love James Pierre on defense, and I love what Isaiah Loudermilk on the D-line is doing. The kid is getting better as well. So that's the one byproduct of having guys injured early in the season, is that we've gotten to see the growth of James Pierre. We've gotten to see the growth of Trey Norwood, Arthur Millett, Isaiah Loudermilk, and, of course, Isaiah Buggs. Those guys have gotten way more reps than we anticipated, and it's starting to pay off, and we're starting to feel better about them, so that now when a Joe Hayden goes back, you kind of feel okay. And you say, hey, if we got to switch out because somebody's nicked up, boom, Trey Norwood can go in. Now we'll really see a test because Minka's not back there. But pairing him with the Terrell Edmonds and seeing how they can work together, this is an opportunity for somebody new to step up with this opportunity.
You played 10 games as a rookie and then started all 16 in your second year, Max. What are guys like Moore and Dotson and Green going through? Because it's tough to learn as you go in the NFL, especially on the offensive line.
Well, I mean, right now, rookie wall is starting to creep in. Because, yes, we're 10 weeks in the regular season, but you forgot about those four preseason games. So it's now 14 weeks for those guys coming off of a college schedule. So now this is college football playoff time that they just finished. And they have to figure out, you know, how do I keep my body in check? And how do I not allow my mind to drift? How can I continually still push myself to get better? Because this is new territory for me. This is a new experience. And I know this is my job and this is my profession and this is what I've waited my whole life to do, but it's pretty painful. like my body hurts and I'm not going to feel any better because every week I signed up for this crash test to be compensated for, but it's still going as a crash test dummy every week with the amount of collisions you have. So it's just properly maintaining that, realizing you need to get your rest. Stretching is super important. The extra time, just studying film, trying not to be lax or complacent at any point. So you're fighting that complacency at this point, and also trying to keep your body as fresh as possible.
How good is Justin Herbert, the Chargers quarterback, who is only in his second year? But you look at this guy, Max, and you say, boy, he's good. He looks the part.
Oh, I mean, Justin Herbert, what this kid has accomplished, I mean, you know, looking at the second year and what he has been able to amass, his knowledge bank, because we were like, dude, he's going to be okay. Throw for 150, 160, first game out, and then boom, 310 yards. You're like, holy crap, where'd that come from? It's like, okay, can he do it again? Boom, he does it again. And then you realize, okay, well, what happens when he's blitzed under pressure? Still cool, calm, and collected, and delivers strikes. So now you know you have a franchise competitive quarterback in the making, because I will never christen a quarterback as a franchise guy until year four. That's just the way that I've always been and how I've evaluated it. But right now he has all the makings and the trajectory to be that franchise quarterback. And like you said, he's super competitive. He has a great arm. He has good decision-making skills for the most part, and he has some escapability. So he has literally carried Los Angeles way further than I thought they would be had he been another quarterback that was drafted in the same year.
Why does Keenan Allen always kill the Steelers, the L.A. Wideout? Don't get me wrong, Max. He's real good, but he ain't Randy Moss, and he just destroys the black and gold.
You know, it's one of those things. It's like, I don't know if he has feels like a voodoo doll for the DB he's going against the night before or something, and he just pokes it with little darts and stuff. But it's like, what, you know, there's always that one guy that just has a bead on you. And I think that's just what it is. One guy that just, when he plays his team, no matter what the circumstances, he's going to hurt you no matter who you put on him, no matter who you bring in free agency to then play against him the next year. He just has that skill set and that edge, and it's uncanny. You know, I remember in my career, you know, Eric Burgess was a defensive end. No matter how great I played anywhere else, Derek Burgess played against him in the Eagles. It was tough. I gave up a sack. He goes to the Raiders. I'm like, okay, the Raiders suck. We're out here in Oakland. Dude, I gave up two sacks. I was like, holy crap. I'm like, really? I'm like, dude, the scheme is completely different. I'm jumping you. What is going on? And it's just some guys just have that knack for having a bead on somebody else or another team, and that was my guy. That's the one guy that just annoyed me, and I'm glad I didn't have to see him that often. But, yeah, that was the one guy. I'm like, so it's just one of those things. It's just freaky how it happens.
And finally, Max, and this goes back to the beginning of our conversation, L.A. ranks last in the league defending the run, so is pounding the ball behind Najee the obvious choice?
It is the obvious choice, but then we went against the 28th ranked rush defense last week, and we decided to pass it 50 times. So, as much as I would love to say that that is the easy choice, I obviously have been standing corrected before by the game plan. But that's what we should do, if that's what you're asking me. we should run the ball that many times against one of the teams that's the worst at it, because that could be a strength for us, and we have the eligible linemen to do that. We should run the ball first, early, and often.
Max, great stuff. Thank you for joining me. You're killing it on the game night, on the game day broadcast, and we'll talk again soon, I hope. Have fun on the trip.
All right. Thanks, man. Take care, bud.
That is Max Starks. Boy, great stuff from him. Just absolutely fantastic radio. Now it's time to Ask Mark Anything, 412-333-WXDX. Call now and Ask Mark Anything, 412-333-WXDX.
Dot Bank, equal housing lender. And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Does your girlfriend want to bang a penguin?
Well, dang, but I guess if that's your freebie, then my freebie would be Crosby. But,
Wait, what?
VX at 105.9.
Double M on the X. I guess Ben's got to keep testing, and he has to clear Sunday morning, test negative for second time, and then he could play, but he's not going to be in L.A. when he gets tested. What do you do, get a private jet? I guess, but they won't. They will feel they will have game planned with Rudolph, and he'll play, because that's how they operate. Time now to Ask Mark Anything, brought to you by California University of PA. Unlock your story. After this, there's the Coaches Show. It's live from Montreal with Josh Getzoff and Coach Mike Sullivan. And don't forget, tomorrow night I'll be at Caliente Pizza and Draft House in Aspinwall to watch the Penguin game. Even if you hate me and you're not into hockey, I'll be giving stuff away. And they got great pizza. So, Coors Light, you know. Let's go to Jeff and Jeanette. Jeff, ask Mark Anything.
How you doing, Mark?
Good.
Hey, Mark, I was just curious. Thanksgiving's next week, and I was curious, what do you do for Thanksgiving? Do you have a traditional meal?
I will be playing Boston Market Roulette. I ordered food there. I hope I get it, because I didn't last year.
So the second part was, what's your favorite? So if you're doing roulette, it's just whatever.
My favorite what?
Favorite part of the meal.
I love stuffing.
Yeah, me
even
too,
though it's full part of carbs and I shouldn't eat it, that's for me the best part of the Thanksgiving meal. And people always say, oh, you should come to my house. I'll invite you here. I get plenty of invitations. I like being at my house, eating Boston Market, and thinking about my mom and kind of reliving some of the old days of my mind, as opposed to being at a table with people who, I mean, they're well-intentioned for having me there, but it's just not what I want to do. I'd be just as content if I never went to anything ever again, like a wedding or Thanksgiving dinner or, you know, except for stuff I get paid to do. You want to pay me to come to Thanksgiving dinner? I'm in. $600. Now, you know what? It's a holiday. $1,000. Let's go to John in the car. John, you're on with Mark.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing tonight?
Good, John.
Hey, I just want to know, when you got Max Starks back on? Because, man, that was just an awesome interview, and I think he should expand his horizons to other sports other than football, because I think he's very awesome.
I think Max was brilliant. He always is. I think his commentary is brilliant. He's not afraid to criticize the team when it's called for. I think he's great, and he is welcome on this program anytime. Let's go to Phil in Newcastle. Phil, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark. What's up?
Hi, Phil.
Hey, just got done watching your Ric Flair podcast. And
you watched it? How'd you watch it? Did you watch it on YouTube?
Yeah, Ric Flair.
Is the whole thing on YouTube or just clips?
The whole thing, man.
Wow, that shows our great production values with me sitting in my kitchen.
It was well done.
Thank you.
The first question was a banger, man. The Jack Vino story was...
Yeah, the Jack Veneno story when Rick defended the title in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, right, and they had to change the finish because the crowd was going to riot.
Absolutely. I've actually talked to George Napolitano about that, man, a few times, and he remembers that quite well as well. And,
wait, to who?
George Napolitano. George Napolitano.
Oh, George Napolitano, the wrestling magazine guy. No. Well, thank you for listening. I thought we did a good first episode, and it will get nuttier and nuttier, believe you me. Let's go to the Don in the city. Don, you're on with Double M.
What up, man?
What up, man?
Real quick on Liverpool, Spurs fan here. Can you guarantee me this weekend a victory against Arsenal?
No, we got a lot of injuries. I hope so, but I can't guarantee.
And don't you think at the end of the day...
Where's that game at? Refresh my memory.
You know, I got to look at that again. I think it's at Arsenal, but I'm not positive of that. But don't you think the cog in that wheel that really drove them to the Champions League was those wingbacks? And they're just not playing as well.
What, who? Robertson and Alexander.
You got it.
They're not wingbacks, they're fullbacks, and I think they're playing great. I mean, we've only lost one game all year. And by the way, that game is at Liverpool. Let's go to Anthony and Bel Vernon. Anthony, very quickly.
Oh, hey, what's up, Mark? Me and my dad love the show. I was going to ask you, what are some, like, genuinely fond memories you have with the Steelers? Because it seems like the last 10 years have absolutely sucked with Tomlin and, like, the misleading and what...
I like to get paid to talk about them. Up next, it's the Coaches Show with Mike Sullivan and Josh Getzoff here on the home of the Penguins, 105.9 The X.